Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. States and local governments stand to lose about $47 billion, with a B, in federal funding for transportation and transit projects next year. That's if Congress doesn't put more money into the Highway Trust Fund. The fund right now is sliding into insolvency. It's right on E right now, according to a new report from the Transportation for America. They say that unless Congress acts to add funds to the fund, there will be no federal money for new projects in fiscal year 2015. So are you willing to pay more at the pump or to pay different new taxes or fees in order to save the nation's asphalt? The number to call to join the conversation is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You can also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org or comment directly on the show page on our website at tpr.org. Our guest this half hour, David Goldberg. He is a spokesperson for the Transportation for America, an advocacy group for better infrastructure, and they had released that report saying that we are running out of funds. David, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me.
So what is this fund? I didn't know we had this transportation fund. Maybe I should know, but I don't know. What is this thing?
Well, the Highway Trust Fund is the nation's piggy bank for transportation, I guess, if you will. It's existed since the 1950s. Every time we fill up at the tank, our federal gas tax, it's part of the price we pay, and it goes into the Highway Trust Fund. And that's been what we've used to build our roads and transit for the last 60 years or so.
So when we gas up, so we're still gassing up, what's the problem?
Well, the problem is that for years and years, the fund only grew because we were driving more and consuming more gasoline and paying more into it. But we haven't raised that gas tax in 20 years. The purchasing power of it is going down every day. And at the same time, the fuel efficiency of our vehicles has gotten better. And we're not driving quite as much per person as we were. That has started to fall off as well. So all of this is conspiring to mean that less money is flowing into the trust fund than Congress had anticipated when they set the spending levels for the program. So what happens is the states are each given an amount that they're allowed to spend, and then the federal government comes behind and reimburses them. We're in a situation right now, as you said earlier, where by this summer, more money will have flowed out than we can actually cover in terms of what the states have been allowed to spend. So they'll have to put the brakes on that and wait until Congress does something in order to be able to move forward on projects.
So it's costing much more to build highways and maintain highways than it did 20, 30 years ago, and we're seeing less money being collected by the government because people are driving e-vehicles, electric vehicles, or hybrids, or more efficient vehicles, so that's not happening. So that seems to be two pinchers happening to drive this home.
That's exactly right. And this is all happening at the same time that the federal transportation program is expiring. It expires at the end of the federal fiscal year at the end of September. So Congress has to reauthorize the program, and they have to have some money to be able to do it. They have to be able to figure out where the money comes from to patch the hole in the trust fund in order to continue the federal program. It's important to note that that most of our states, in fact, 35 of our states, have at least half of the money they have available for their highways and transit comes from the federal government. And in some cases, the smaller states, the smaller population states, 90% or so can come from the federal government. So this is not a small thing. Most people like you are like you, though, and they don't actually realize how the system works, and so I think it's going to be a rude awakening for a lot of people this summer if Congress doesn't act.
So why isn't Congress acting? Is this an ideological problem, or is this just because of gridlock?
Well, there's a couple things. You know, one is that it's an election year, so finding the money, raising the gas tax, or doing anything else that might bring in more revenue is really a political non-starter this year. So what they have to do is to make some kind of deal where they move money from the rest of the government, from the general fund, over to cover the trust fund. They need about $18 billion to get them through so that they can go on with the program for next year. I think they'll do that. They'll probably, you know, at the last minute make a deal to make this happen. The trouble is nobody really knows what's going to happen after that point. It's not a long-term fix by any means.
So it's short-term fixes like we saw with some of these other fiscal cliff type things. It's like, oh, hair's on fire, things are really bad. They come in the last minute, they make a deal. But it's not the big deal that allows for a long-term planning and just better management of the nation's transportation system.
Yeah, and that's right. And so the trouble is you've got states out there. We've got 65,000-plus structurally deficient bridges. And so you've got states out there that are making plans to try to fix or repair those bridges, for example. And if they don't know that the money's coming in, they can't even begin to plan for the project. So those bridges are going to stand there in whatever condition they're in for that much longer. And it could be, if we miss a construction season, it could go on to another construction season. You know, just getting the projects through the pipeline will take a long time. Some states have already, you know, anticipated some of this, and they've looked around in the couch cushions for whatever they've got in terms of money. They've gone to raise their own gas tax. They've done other things. Virginia converted theirs into a sales tax so that it would rise with inflation. But you know, the problem is the states are pretty well tapped out. The local governments are pretty well tapped out. And if the federal money disappears, we're going to see a lot of people out of work. We're going to see a lot of projects get delayed. We're going to see that the infrastructure continues to be in worse condition, and that we can't meet the needs of growing populations. You know, most of our metro areas are growing in population, and they're behind already in providing enough transportation to get people to work and goods to market. So the whole thing it just doesn't bode well for our maintaining our first world status in terms of of our economy.
All right, let's go to the phone lines. Number is 210-614-8980, and David has called in. David, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Oh, thank you. I used to be from the New York area, and it was interesting that President Obama used the Tappan Zee Bridge as a backdrop. If you drive up there across the bridge, your cash toll is $13 one way, and then you don't pay anything coming back, so it's $6.50 each way. And if that bridge is in need of repair, and that's their picture poster boy kind of, I'm wondering, collecting $6.50 each way, maybe a little less if you've got an easy pass, with the thousands of vehicles that cross that bridge each day, where is that money going to if they don't have the money to fix that bridge? That's pretty amazing.
Okay, Dave, thank you for that question. David Goldberg from Transportation for America, your response.
Yeah, well, they have found the money to fix the bridge, and they're working on it now. But the issue is that for a project of that size and that significance, the toll you'd have to charge to completely cover it would be more than the market would probably bear. So tolls on high traffic corridors, in a lot of cases, tolls could cover it. But in a lot of other cases, tolls simply, won't do the job. So, that's going to be, I think, a growing feature of our lives, unfortunately. I think we are going to find ourselves paying more tolls. I guess the upside of it is that in the high congestion corridors, it can be used as a way to manage some of the congestion. The only way to make that fair, though, I think, is if some of the revenue you collect actually gets put into an alternative. So it may be a railway, or it may be a bus rapid transit, or some other
All right.
way to get through there.
David Goldberg, we're going to continue this conversation. Got to take a quick break. We're talking about the Transportation National Transportation Fund. This is The Source on KSTX. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. With me on the line, David Goldberg. He's a spokesperson for Transportation for America. They advocate for better infrastructure in the nation. They put out a report recently saying that the United States will lose its ability to fund transportation projects next year. That's going to impact states and local governments, public transit, all sorts of things. And they're saying that we need to figure out more funding sources for that. You know, transportation, it involves pretty much everything that we want out of a nation, education, the economy. If you want a good economy, you've got to have reliable transportation, national defense, also the environment. I mean, so it seems like this is a keystone in having a functional nation, David.
Well, that's absolutely true. And what's interesting is it has traditionally been a bipartisan thing. It has been something that, you know, everybody pretty much agrees across the political spectrum that that it is a public function to provide for the transportation. The problem is things have gotten so tangled up around politics in Washington these days that it's hard even to get consensus on something that used to be a no-brainer like that.
Now, you say that the easy solution would be to raise the gas tax, but lawmakers in Congress are afraid to do that because then they would be labeled a tax and spender, or they would lose their credentials when next time they come up for elections. But isn't that kind of selling short the American people? Don't people realize that if I pay a tax and I see that that tax is actually being used for something, it's not just going to be frittered away, then that's reasonable.
But you see this at the local level all the time. Local governments have been increasingly going to the ballot box to find money for transportation, to build some new public transportation facilities, to fix roads, and those ballot measures are passing by 70+%. So when people know what the money is going to go for, they are usually okay with paying a little bit more. And the truth is that people might, you know, they might fume about it, but most of us wouldn't notice it after a while. You know, the last time they raised the gas tax in 1993, they raised it a few cents, and you know the price at the pump barely changed. So it's not the complete non-starter. I think some in Congress have said that it is. The long-term problem with the gas tax, of course, was what we talked about at the top of the show, which was that the fleet's getting more efficient, the vehicles are getting more efficient, and people are driving less. We've got an aging population, so a lot of baby boomers are going to start to retire. They're going to drive less. The long-term prospects for what the gas tax can bring in are not super reliable. So we do need to be thinking about what we do to replace that revenue, or if we take a different approach to how we fund our infrastructure.
Well, you mentioned Virginia earlier, and they have a fee for electric vehicles, which has raised recently. So they're going after that.
Yeah, and that, you know, some people have said, well, what we really need is a vehicle miles travel tax or fee. So you basically pay in based on how much you drive, and the technology is getting to a point where it could do that and potentially guard against some of the privacy fears that people have had about, you know, like, could they be tracked everywhere they go. But that is a little ways off from being implemented, and there's a lot of tricky things about it. So that may be one direction that we go in. Or it may be that, you know, another thing that could be done is to, in the near term anyway, is to convert the existing per gallon tax that we pay, it's 18.4 cents now per gallon, convert that to a sales tax, and then that would actually, you know, reflect changes in inflation, which the per gallon tax doesn't do. So as construction costs go up, it could match that.
Our phone lines are open. If you want to join the conversation, tell us, would you mind paying more at the pump to preserve the nation's transportation system, to keep the bridges from collapsing, to keep potholes from happening in the middle of I-35? The number 210-614-8980. Is the entire tax that we pay for gas tax, is that actually going towards transportation, or is it being diverted like we've seen here in Texas?
At the federal level, it does go to transportation. It goes directly into the Highway Trust Fund. There was, in 1993, the last time it was raised, it was part of a deficit reduction deal. So initially, it went into the general fund. It didn't actually go into the Highway Trust Fund. But then Congress changed that later so that all of it does flow into the trust fund. So it's been going the other way around, frankly. The last few years, with the shortfalls coming up in the trust fund, there's actually been transfers from other general revenues into the trust fund to cover the whole.
Well, and what about the gas companies, big oil companies? Where are they on this? Are they afraid that if you raise the gas tax, that people will buy less fuel?
I don't think that that they would stand up and cheer necessarily, but they haven't been real vocal to this point about it. Maybe they haven't seen a real threat because nobody's been willing to step forward and say, "Hey, let's do it." When it's been under discussion in about, I think it's been about 19 states that have done something in the last year and a half or so around raising a gas tax or converting it, there really hasn't been a big fight, at least coming from the oil companies.
All right, let's get Max on the line. Max has called in, and the phone number to do that is 210-614-8980. Max, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. My comment is really simple. Whenever there is an increase in the gas, petroleum in general, the consumers get all the burdens. Now, the oil companies who are a beneficiary of all these, whatever happens in the world and the battle wall goes up and what have you, they are immune to that. They are shielded by any of these. They are making billions and billions of dollars quarterly. So my comment would be, I think the oil companies, big corporations, they should actually pay for some of these problems to keep the vehicles that are on the road, and essentially they are going to keep the oil companies. If the roads are good, the oil companies benefit from this. So they should actually pay for some of that repair.
All right, Max, great observation. Thanks for calling in. So David Goldberg from the Transportation for America, he says that these roads are basically a subsidy for the oil companies and I guess for the auto companies also.
And you can certainly look at it that way. It has certainly benefited them over the years for us to have the road network that we have and, frankly, the development patterns that we've had, which in a lot of cases have made people really reliant on the car. One of the things that the trust fund also funds is public transportation. About 20% of it goes to that. And you're seeing a lot of cities that are trying to build more of that infrastructure. We've got 85% of our population now lives in metro areas, and a lot of them are starting to feel a little bit more crowded, and they need to move people around, and they don't really have space for a whole lot more cars to move them around and to park them. So we're needing to build a lot more transit and give people an opportunity to get around other ways.
Yeah, we come up with the flying cars, then we don't have to worry about the roads.
Yeah, I was talking about this with somebody earlier that, you know, when we were kids, we all thought we were going to get flying cars by now, but instead we're getting driverless cars. And I don't know if that's such a great trade, because they'll probably be telling us when we can go and when we can't, and we won't be flying.
All right, let's get John on the air. John's called in. Welcome to The Source.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead. You're on the
Hello?
Air. Yes, sir, John.
Yes, sir. You know, talking about the flying cars, they're already having problems with drones. So let's just get rid of that.
I guess that's a driverless flying car.
Yeah, but you want to put a flying car in the air, and they're already having problems with drones coming close to aircraft. So anyhow, but getting back to what I would like to say, you know, you talk about raising taxes on gasoline, but there is just spending. If you watch any of the programs, 60 Minutes or, you know, the Sunday morning, how they talk about how senators and, you know, Republicans and Democrats have these loopholes, and they're spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in nepotism. Maybe before you start raising taxes, you need to control the spending of the people that are representing their districts, their states, and the United States, rather than taxing the daylights out of people who pay your salaries.
Okay, John, thanks for that call, and let's get David to respond to that. So seems like John doesn't have a lot of faith in Washington, D.C., even though this would be very restricted on how that money would be spent. People don't see it that way.
Yeah, one of the ways that we think this could be a lot more appealing and a lot more effective would be to get more of the money into local hands. Some goes now to the local areas, to the metro areas, and to local communities, but mostly it's controlled by the states, and the states are really focused on building, some of the big highway projects and that kind of thing. But local communities, what we think is a good way to handle this is to bring more of that money closer to the taxpayers, closer to the voters, where they can see where it's actually going to go. And in a lot of cases, like I said earlier, they're voting for their own funds that can match these federal funds. And if you do, there's been in the last few years has been a program that's known as Tiger that has really opened up to local communities, and they compete. They put in a project, and whoever's got like the, you know, they have a bigger share that they're willing to pay. They can demonstrate benefits from it, and then make a good case for their project, and it wins the money. That kind of thing increases efficiency. It makes it more accountable, and that should be the future of the program.
So your prediction is that Congress will come up with a solution, but it'll be a short-term solution, won't settle this whole thing, and we'll be back here probably a year later trying to figure it out again.
And I'll be happy to come back.
All right, David Goldberg from the Transportation for America, thanks for joining us on The Source this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
And this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks so much for tuning us in.
David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.